Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Most of the year, seabirds spend their lives on the ocean waves, but right now they are nesting in huge colonies up and down the coast, beaches and islands of our coastline. Puffins, kittiwakes, terns, razorbills are currently engaged in the difficult process of hatching their young and keeping them alive before they head out to sea again. So to tell us where to look and to enjoy our local seabirds, I'm joined now by Éan an Ealaíona, wildlife expert and author of The Wonders of the Wild. Good morning, Éanna. How are you?
I'm grand. And yourself?
Good to see you again. Before we talk about the where, can we talk a little bit about the how and how close should we get?
Well, we shouldn't get close at all. I mean, that's what binoculars were invented for, so you can see things at a distance. I mean, the place belongs to the seabirds, and some of them are more delicate than others. And if you go too close and frighten off the parents, then the eggs and the chicks are left exposed. And there's gulls and skuas only waiting the opportunity to nip in and grab and upset. So even though they won't maybe attack the adult birds, they'll certainly take advantage if the birds are disturbed by mad walkers with dogs and the like trying to get too close. So keep away, stand by with your binoculars. And it's really easy to see seabirds with binoculars. Other things you go out to look at, like swallows or something, and they're whoosh, they're gone past. You'd never see them in the binoculars. But the cliffs of seabirds are a wonderful place to go and study, with even a telescope if you were to be so affluent. But binoculars work well there too. So don't go too close, no.
You were just in Donegal. What did you see?
I was up in Kilcar there last week doing something for TG Cahir. It's a programme called Alcha that's coming out, which means cliffs. And we were out at sea off Kilcar looking at the cliffs from the sea. And of course, we were looking at the colonies of seabirds that were there. And there's kittiwakes, there's fulmars, there's guillemots, razorbills and shags. We saw all of those, as we would expect, on the cliffs themselves in different layers. They all have their own place on the corridor, or if you like. So the top of them are the fulmars, then next are the kittiwakes, and then you have shelves then of guillemots and razorbills, and down at the bottom of the cliffs, that's where the shags hang out.
And they lay different shaped eggs according to where it is on the cliffs that they like to go.
Well, I mean, if you're a kittiwake or a razorbill just on a shelf half the size of a kitchen shelf, I mean, you don't want your egg to roll off like a hen egg. So it has a really pointy point on one end of it. So when it spins around, it doesn't roll sideways, it just rolls around in a circle and it won't fall off the actual ledge. And that's really important. Whereas up at the top of the cliff, where you might have fulmars or kittiwakes who actually make a nest, and there's one nest and two on it and one nest and two on it, rather than a row of fellas standing on a cliff, their eggs will be more like we would expect on a hen shaped mm-hmm. egg, because they don't need to be so careful of not falling off the edge.
Do they all return to the same place on the cliff? Like the puffins go and find the same burrow year after year, don't they?
If it's available to them. Puffins, of course, aren't on the cliff face at all. The puffins are up on top, and they will take over rabbit burrows, rabbit holes, that sort of thing, maybe dig them themselves if they have to. But they did a survey on seabirds and just published it at the end of November last year by a Birdwatch Ireland, and did it for the National Parks and Wildlife Service people. And of our nesting seabird colonies, all of them except two species are increasing. So this is actually good news. Normally everything is gloom and doom. Mm. So the numbers of all the seabirds, I mean, when you think of something like the roseate tern, we have 94% of all the roseate terns in the world breed in Ireland. We're that important for roseate terns, and a huge amount of them do it above in Rockabell off the coast of Dublin, and there's wardens out there to mind them and look after them and stop them being upset by people, stop rats, foxes, anything like that coming and killing them, or birds of prey. And we have 94% of the whole world's population. Some of them are down in Ladies Island and Wexford as well. Similarly with storm petrels, we have 73% of the total population of storm petrels in our breeding in Ireland. So we're really important for seabirds. So it's great that this particular survey has shown that in the main, they're all increasing. The two that are decreasing are, in fact, the kittiwake and the puffin, in fact.
And we are very important for the puffin because while we are decreasing numbers in Ireland and Britain, nothing like as has happened elsewhere in Iceland and in Canada, where the population has fallen by 70%
This is the result of climate change, because the seas are getting warmer, the little sand eels and things that they feed on are not available any longer. They're being overfished as food for salmon fisheries, because salmon feed on fish meal made from these small little fishes. And as a consequence of the ocean currents warming up, these great shoals of sand eels are changing where they used to go, and there's no food for the baby puffins, because the puffins hunt all day and come in then at night into the actual burrows. And the other thing that happens with them, because they're in burrows, they're hugely assaulted by rats in particular. So if there's rats on an offshore island, they can wipe out a population of puffins by going down into the burrows and eating the actual little eggs and chicks when they're down there before they even hatch at all.
But it means that places like the Saltees, like Skellig Vihil, like Rathlin, are really important, not just in Ireland, but globally as well.
That's right. But even here, our puffins are declining too. I mean, we're not getting off the hook. And the kittiwakes are gone down by 40%. And they're really the canaries in the mine, if you like, in the seabird world, because they can't dive down as deep as other birds. You think of something like a gannet, something like a tern, it can shump, go way down. But the kittiwakes can't do it so very far down. And the surface feeding fish are the ones that are vanishing because of overfishing. So when they're beginning to go this year and next year, in more years' time, it might be the same unless we change and mind our ways. But we are changing our mind and our ways. And our special protection areas, the SPAs, where the birds are, there's more protection put into those. We have more sea areas designated as SPAs. And the fact that all of the rest of our seabird colonies are increasing is a measure of how effective these measures have been.
Most of these species that you have mentioned don't mind living in relatively close proximity to each other. But the gannets, now they're very antisocial and they want their spot for themselves.
The gannets, I mean, if you ever went to Skellig Vihil, as you go there, you pass Little Skellig and there are 20,000 pairs of gannets. So they're not Marlene Dietrich. They don't want to be alone, but they don't want any other species hanging around with them. So there's 20,000 gannets there, building nests out of rotten seaweed, regurgitating food from their crops and pooing everywhere. And as you go by on Les Lavelles, boat up and down over the waves, you're very sorry you had a fry for your breakfast, I'm telling you.
Because it is really quite a smell, and the rocks, the colour of the little skellig has changed from the guano
from their droppings. Yeah, indeed, that's true. Sulla Bassani was the old name for it in Latin. Bassani was the Bassan rock in Scotland, but Sulla, the Latin word, comes from the Irish word sul, which means an eye, because the gannets are the ones that can see the mackerel way down in the water, and when they start diving, all the other fish and the fishermen all come. But isn't it great to think that the Irish language gave a word to Latin? Yeah, never mind giving it to English or French, something to Latin we gave a word that was important.
And I gather that there's relatively good news there in terms of the impact of avian flu on the gannets now. They're not seeing as many deaths.
Yeah, it was bad last year. You see them hanging around and you never see a gannet out at sea, and they were sitting on walls of piers and things like that. But they seem to have weathered it at any rate, and there isn't as much avian flu around this year, which is great, because it could wipe out. Because you see, with them, while you have gannets by themselves and nowhere else, but they're all stuck together on their cliffs. So if somebody comes back and starts coughing and sneezing, they'll all pick it up. So it's very, contagious, in fact.
So if you're not lucky enough to get on a boat out to the Skelligs, where else will you see gannets?
Well, I mean, if you're in Dublin, you can go out to the North County Dublin, up to Howth and Ireland's Eye. We even have a gannet colony in Ireland's Eye, which is worth seeing. And the cliffs on Howth, if you're walking around on the paths, keeping away from the edge, you'll see them up in the air. If you want to see terns nest on shingle beaches. In fact, in Baltray and County Louth, the little tern there has had a very successful summer. So if you're anywhere at the seaside, not actually down where the colony is, but you'll see the terns all flying around up in the air. They're like sea swallows, like the most elegant seagulls you ever saw, with pointy tails like swallows, gorgeous things altogether. Salty islands are very good, so if you're down off the coast in Wexford, you'll see these on the beach and on the shores flying around up and down. And then if you go around further to Cork and Kerry, of course, all of the coast along there has nesting cliffs of things. Hornhead and Donegal, really good cliffs out along by Mayo for the cliff nesting birds, but there's shore nesting birds as well, and there's the gannets, as I say, who are by themselves, so they're not just all on the cliffs.
Let's spare a little word in time for the gull, because as sure as night follows day, at around about this time of year, there'll be calls from some politician somewhere for a cull of the gulls. But a lot of those breeds of gull are increasingly rare.
Well, I mean, they're all protected and endangered, the herring gull, the blackback gull, are the two that have had the temerity not to go extinct. I mean, normally, when humans eat all your food and take all your territory, what can you do? Only go away and die. But the gulls didn't do it. They said, by gum, we'll get them. So if they've taken our territory and they've taken our food, we'll go into town, we'll take their territory and we'll take their food. And they nest on houses, on roofs, which look like cliffs. And because people who have no sense, sitting in Stephen's Green eating their chips and throw a few to the gulls, and then wonder why the gulls haven't the patience to wait the next time until they're to the dregs of the bag, and they have become very adroit at doing this. We trained them to do this. It's our fault, not the bird's fault. I won't hear a word said
against
them.
Is very generous of you, considering what happened to your croissant recently.
Yes, I was over in Herbert Park in Donnybrook, coming out of the lovely cafe there, Lolly and Cooks, with my tray and my coffee and my croissant, and I was coming out the door. There had been a cull behind me, and it was watching me. I just whoosh over my shoulder, took the croissant, didn't spill the coffee, didn't do it. I went up and sat on the pole, nya 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 nya, eating me croissant. Fair juice them and Lolly and Coot gave me a free one to make up for it. I was gobsmacked. I was very impressed, I have to say. I thought, fair dues.
Ian and Elena, thank you very much for coming and take care.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.